May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 306. Oh, the pangs by Christians felt when their eyes are opened, when they see the gulfs of guilt they must wade and grope in, when the hell appears within, causing bitter anguish and the loathsome stench of sin makes the spirit languish. Hymn 306.
Thank you. Let us read from the sacred pages of God's Word, from the Gospel according to John, chapter 16. John 16. The Gospel according to John, chapter 16. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father, nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, the sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you all things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, What is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father. They said therefore, What is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, and your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, or parables is the meaning, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. All at that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again I leave the world, and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. How are we now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee? By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Let us pray. Almighty, most holy, eternal Lord God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, once more this day we draw near to thy footstool. We do desire to draw near to that precious throne of grace. O great God of heaven, we have, like Peter said, nowhere else to go. Lord, we have no help but in thee. Thou art our only help. Thou art our only deliverer. Thou art our only comforter. Thou art our only saviour. And we would desire with thankfulness of heart and with longing desires to draw near to God, the holy God of heaven who hateth sin. But what a miracle, that thing thou dost hate, O God. Thou didst cause thine only begotten one to bear that terrible reproach, O Lord, and to bear our stain, to take the punishment that is due to us. How vital it is that we have an interest in this, and here we are, begging once more for a lively interest, a lively hope in this rich truth, that thou hast borne our iniquities and passed them away, put them away forever, in the tomb there to be buried forever, not to be seen. Great God of heaven, oh, we often ponder this. Thou who knowest everything and can forget nothing. Oh, what a miracle, what a wonder of wonders. Thou dost not see nor remember our sins if we're thine. Oh, Lord, give us that wonderful grace, that unspeakable mercy of knowing how this is, how this thing, this tremendous thing, can ever be, that thou dost not see my sin, which thou art a God that never forgets anything, knowest all things from beginning to end. Yet, Lord, all that great, wonderful mystery to be found in Jesus, thine own beloved Son, that is whom thou dost look upon for the church, for the redemption of the people. He performed thy will, thy purpose, great God of heaven. Open to us these precious treasures. We're poor sinners, Lord. These treasures are held in bodies of affliction, bodies of sin, bodies of death, that our soul might live. O Lord, we are dying mortals, and we know it. O Lord, and who can bear their very sins? They're unbearable. Yet, great God of heaven, thine only begotten one, the righteous one, he bore them, and we've been reading his words. We do pray his words may be a reality to us. Do make them a blessing. Make them eternal life. Let that precious gospel flow into our hearts. May it have that gracious effect, that heavenly influence upon us, we humbly beg. Oh, we're poor, dying, helpless worms, and we know it. O Lord, we come to chapel. O Lord, and thou knowest the corruptions of our heart. O Lord, have mercy on us. May we ever be weeping and mourning after Jesus. Yes, has that Son of God really borne my sin away? Open up the glory of it, the grace of it, the wonder of it. Yea, the very truth. The very truth. Apply it to our souls, that we may receive that full assurance, that full blessing. Oh, do look down in mercy upon us in our low estate, and we are in a low place, Lord. Thy people do come to this low place. Nothing in our hand we bring, simply to thy cross we cling. We've got no righteousness. Oh, do make thyself all in all to thy dear ones, thy tried ones, thy lonely ones, thy needy ones. Oh, Lord, oh, do lead us into that truth. Holy Spirit, do guide us. And we beg of thee, oh, to bring the glory, the grace of the Son of God closer to our heart. Dear Lord Jesus, thou who didst promise, as we've been reading and in the surrounding chapters, to send a comforter. Oh, do send him to us. O Lord, and the Holy Spirit, that we may know thou art in us. How canst thou dwell in my heart? It is by grace alone we stand in awe. But we do want those living touches. We do need the living waters, Lord. Oh, do help us, we pray. Draw us upwards, while we kept so poor and needy, because I'm a sinner, Lord, that's why. We wish we could be raised up a bit more, live a bit higher, O Lord, but sin hangs heavy on our soul, and we're dying mortals. But we look for thy blessing, which is a heavenly one. This will raise us up. Oh, do grant thy gospel may raise us up and a good hope in Jesus. So, Lord, we come as poor and needy, honest confessions. Make us clean. Lord, if thou wilt, said the leper, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Lord, and thou didst say, I will, be thou clean. We are so thankful, Lord, and we would thank thee and pray that we may be among them. Lord, and if we're truly coming to thee in all need and confession and longing desires and led of the Holy Ghost, Lord, we are coming to thee and will be under the blessing. Thou didst turn none away. One man went away because of his riches. He had many riches. He went away sorrowful, we read. But dear Lord, may not our sorrow be of this world. May our sorrow be because of that godly sorrow, for our failings, our sins, and our lack of love, our lack of obedience, our lack of spiritually mindedness. Lord, our lack of heavenly blessings and heavenly mindedness because of our reproach. Lord, my life is a reproach upon me, and I know it, and it is painful. But, O Lord, all we do look to the Saviour, the full Saviour. May we humbly ever be confessing. May we be looking unto Jesus at all times, O glorious Son of God. Oh, do fill our hearts with thy love. Give us those tokens. Lord, we know we are nothing before thee. And have mercy on us. May thy word then be a full blessing to our soul. Feed us with thy love and grace. Those precious tokens thou hast given from time to time, may we not cuss them to one side. We would never do that. But how forgetful we are. O Lord, cast not away therefore thy confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, and it does. That living hope in the Lamb, the friend of publicans and sinners. O Lord, we thank thee for that blessed title that thou dost bear. And the Pharisees despise thee for it. But we despise thee not, O Lamb of God. We adore thee for it. We worship thee for it. Are thou really a friend of publicans and sinners? Not in their sin. Not in their sin. But in their sorrow for their sin. Lord, do call us closer to thee, to lean upon thee, and upon thy bosom, lean upon thy breast, upon thy word, upon thy person, upon thy finished work, and it is a complete work, Lord. That completeness is in the annals of heaven, for that work of bringing and interceding for them now in heaven goes on and on, but it's complete in its redemption. Lord, the salvation is sealed, and thy people, thy sheep, will hear thy voice, and they do know thy voice. They know the voice of the Good Shepherd. What a mercy, Lord, to be among them who know the bridegroom's voice, the Good Shepherd's voice. O Lord, we do worship thee. So do hear our poor ramblings and our poor prayers. And do let us draw near now. And bless thy word to us. Lord, it's for those who need it. The gospel is for the poor. The gospel is for the needy. The gospel is a living gospel for the dying. The gospel is a living gospel, Lord, to those in distress. Lord, and to turn us, to draw us, to lead us, and to bless us. So, Lord, do let thy presence be in our midst. We beg of thee for it. Now do help us, we pray, for thy blessing upon us now. Bless this house of prayer. Remember our friends who bear office. Uphold them in the office they bear. Do help them, Lord, their loved ones in all things. Remember them in their responsibilities, burdens, cares, and for this house. remember one especially in our great trial. Who can begin to speak of it? No one can enter into it. We each walk in our own pathway. We each bear our own burden, our own grief. Oh, do be with him and his loved one. Oh, be very gracious to them. Shine in our soul. Do bless our Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, do fill our heart with thy love. Lord, all things are possible. Lord, and keep the enemy at bay. Do bless them as a family, the whole family. And may all these matters be sanctified unto them for their good. Let thy work appear in this house and in Zion. O Lord, and we have to say, O forsake me not, O God, and leave not my name out. What if my name should be left out when thou for them shalt call? Lord, we deserve it. We deserve it to be left out. We deserve it, Lord, 1,000 times over. And we know it, for thou art true and thou art real. And salvation is of the Lord. And salvation is a certain sound in it, certain blessings in Christ, a fullness in Jesus. Oh, the glory of the Son, the glory of the Father, the glory of the Holy Ghost. So remember each here. Remember all in affliction, pain, suffering. Lord, a number we know of in the churches. O Lord, we pray thee to put forth thy healing hand and grant those healing, restoring mercies. And may all these things work together for our good and be sanctified unto us. Remember our aged friends. Be very near them. It is evening time and eternity is near. O Lord, a never-ending, a status, a situation, a place to enter. O dear Jesus, make thyself precious to aged friends and shine in their souls. Remember all in middle life, heap burden of the day, and to truly cast their care upon thee and commit their way. And may they know the throne of grace and find relief there. May thy gospel be real to them. O Lord, remember our young people going forth in life. Bless the Sunday school, bless the children that attend, bless the little ones, the sweet babes. Oh, will there be heirs of glory? How many? Oh Lord, we look upon our families and we have to lay them out before thee, thou knowest. Great God of heaven, have mercy on them, have mercy on us. Hear our poor prayers and cries. So Lord, do look down then, bless the Sunday school here. Encourage the teachers, may they not labour in vain. And let thy work appear among the young people, the little ones, the children. Those going forth in life, to open thy hand, Lord, and provide for them and all things they so feel to need. The Lord, do call them by thy grace. Lord, remember widows and widowers, those who plough a lonely furrow, those in distress, for those push them by. O Lord, do comfort all that mourn. Thou knowest every case before thee, those who have that special need and exercise. O Lord, do bless them. O do bring it to pass, whatever it might be. Hear our poor prayers and cries, but all that we might know thee, whom to know is life eternal. So remember each that mourn. Remember Zion. Bless thy servants on the walls of Zion. Think of, Lord, for those that will not preach again, do bless them. None of us know what is ahead. We know not what a day will bring forth. And Lord, send labourers still into the vineyard. Bless the pastors. Remember thy servant at Black Boys this day, do remember him and bless him and bless him in his pathway and in his own pasture. And do return to us as a group of churches. Help thy servants and be with each. The editors of our denominational magazines, secretaries of our charitable societies, do bless them in their labours. Remember us in the Zion, Lord, remember thy people through the earth, the missionaries where thy name is feared, thy word is read. Many in deprivation, famine, affliction, war, persecution, genocide. O Lord, do you remember thy people through the earth? O Lord, thou knowest their situation. This time of pandemic, many have not the facilities that we have. We see the distress on the earth. The distress of nations has come. We live in solemn times, and may we lay to heart. O Lord, may we know thee. This is a time to seek the Lord. It certainly is, but give us the grace to do so. And leave us not to continue in earthly matters, but direct our hearts heavenward, upward unto thee. Hear our poor cries. Have mercy on Zion, and have mercy on thy people through the earth, and draw us unto thee. Have mercy on us as a nation. Have mercy on England these solemn times. Give our leaders wisdom. Give them understanding. They are but men. Bless our Queen. We thank thee for her stability over years, and in now her loss. O Lord, he served this nation, and he did. O Lord, in his place is fear, but eternity, O eternity. Bless our Queen. Undertakes on the throne when she's gone. Lengthen out our Protestant heritage still, our civil liberties, religious liberties, freedom to worship. Order the councils of state. But above all, send forth those once more, if it can be thy will. O Lord, we live in the last times, it does seem to us. Although earlier generations and over the centuries have felt the same, as we read and understand out of those good books, dear Lord, we know not, thou knowest. O great God of heaven, O do prepare us for thy will. Have mercy on England. Send forth those once more to go forth and blow the trumpet out of Zion, to declare the whole counsel of God, and to warn out of Zion, and turn us unto thee as a nation. Now, Lord, we thank thee for thy mercies, that worthy of our praise. We acknowledge all thy great kindness and goodness to us in so many ways. O Lord, answers to prayer, helps by the way, provisions. Thou art good, Lord, and thy word is good. O Lord, to let me draw near. O Lord, make thy word a blessing in my own soul. May it be precious unto me, dear Jesus, be near my soul. Lord, to prepare us, make us ready to be before thy face. Or may it be a time of joy. We beseech thee, how awful. Oh, how could we contemplate otherwise, great God of heaven? Oh, precious Lord Jesus, we put our mouth in the dust. Who are we? Oh, I'm vile, I'm vile, I'm vile. God, be merciful to me, a sinner, is still our heart cries so often. And help us on the way. But, Lord Jesus, oh Lord, we do pray thy blessing on us. We do thank thee for all thy goodness and kindness, and help us to see thy mercies. And may thy word be precious. Those spiritual mercies, we have thy words. We have the throne of grace. We have, Lord, the doors of Zion open. We have the Holy Ghost. But we cannot command the blessing. Only thou canst command the blessing. We'd humble ourselves, Lord, under thy mighty hand. So, Lord, we acknowledge so many tremendous mercies, and thou art worthy of our praise, and may we be praising thee now. For where before our hope is in thee, be exalted, O Saviour, be exalted, O thou King of Jews, thou King in Zion, O rule over us, come bless us, O show thy love, show thy dying love to the poor and needy that are knocked by the way. Lord, do bless thy people with realities. May they hear thy voice and know thy call. May there be that following of thee. So hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. Holy Spirit, bring forth the glory of the Son. Holy Heavenly Father, we ask all things in the name of thy only begotten, or thy glorious Son, whom thou dost love, and in whom thou dost love thy people. Come, Lord Jesus, come. We ask in thine, pleading thy name before the throne, and for thy sake. Amen.
Let us continue with hymn 444. Defiled I am indeed, defiled throughout by sin. Thy purple fountain, Lord, I need to wash a leper clean. Hymn 444.
In their complete dependence upon the Lord for all needed help and blessing, I draw your attention to the chapter we read, the Gospel according to John, chapter 16 and verse 22. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. John 16, verse 22. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. This is, of course, an historical scene of the Lord Jesus Christ on earth with his disciples just before he was about to suffer and die. But the gospel is not history. The words of Christ are living words. Beloved friends, is his gospel are the words of the Son of God, or the words of God's word in the Bible? Are the words, whether they be the psalmist or the prophets or the apostles, are they the words of God unto us? As of the Holy Ghost, are they made living and a reality to us? But our text before us, although it was a time which the whole world knows of Christianity, knows of Christ, certainly not believing, and even those of other religions, apart from perhaps the deep places of the earth, where maybe in the Amazon the gospel has not yet reached. But whether people are Christians or not, it is generally known, the name of Christ is known, as we would know about Muhammad and so forth. But of course, we follow the glorious Son of God and not others. The Lord Jesus, before us, shows us something. He tells them he is going away from them. Friend, he had to go away from them. He had to be taken by wicked hands to be crucified. But he promised in our word that he would see them again. Their heart should rejoice. That is the setting. There's also another follow up here, that the Lord Jesus Christ would ascend, but the Comforter then would come, and then they would rejoice. After he had been ascended and gone to glory, and after the day of Pentecost, they did not have that sorrow that they had and experienced when he was crucified. But before the occasion, see how the Lord Jesus Christ knows their case. He knows their case. He knows what is in their heart. He knows their sorrow. He knows their care. Now, dear friend, what is our case this afternoon? Do you have a sorrow? Do you have a care? What of our cares? We have our pathway, we have our need. But here he says to them concerning this a little while, and it brings them sorrow, of course. He says, you shall weep and lament. He knows they will. He knows they will. And he knows not just because, like we understand things, those disciples, he knows the very end from the beginning, and he is the cause, the purpose, the very one who's leading them in the pathway they're going through. He had to be taken by wicked hands and crucified. He knew it would cause them distress. He knew it. But there was divine teaching in it. And beloved friends, in all the Lord's dealings with us, there is a purpose of grace, a divine leading and teaching. Oh, that we may graciously fall into his hands. And the vital thing is to know that we are led. We are being led by the Spirit of God. We are being led by the Lord Jesus Christ in all things in the pathway. This is the vital point. But see how he describes to them their case. It's a wonderful great mercy when God's word reaches us and describes to us our case and our need. Have you known it? Have you known it? When the Lord's word is written in your heart, you see your case there. Your present situation is a reality before God. And the Lord is going to bless you there in it with his word. Friend, it is an eternal word. And he tells them that ye shall weep and lament, but the world around you shall rejoice, especially the Jews at that time. They were so glad, they thought that was it. This challenger to their position had gone. And, you know, they didn't like it that there were those following Christ. Rather, they're looking to them and their importance. The awfulness of man's pride. But dear Jesus speaks to his dear people. They love him. They are in sorrow. He speaks to them about going away. Beloved friends, you ponder that for a moment. We can't put ourselves in the disciples' shoes, but we are in the disciples', the apostles' shoes, following on to know the Lord. And we have our sorrow. The gospel is up to date, isn't it? You know, ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. your sorrow, child of God, your sorrow, praying soul, it shall be turned into joy. You now therefore have sorrow. And he speaks of a woman in travail with child, of course. And she has that sorrow particularly when hour is come, when the pangs of childbirth come upon her, which is actually a very serious thing for a woman to bear and so forth. No husband, as much as he may love his wife, cannot actually be in a situation. Although, having that experience, we know the anxiety and the care that we have had, but we're not the person in travail. Do we know soul travail? Are you a person in soul travail? But as soon as she is delivered of the child, says Christ, you know, she remembereth no more anguish. So it is in grace. So it is in grace. It's a tremendous thing, isn't it? You know, I know, and I've said today, we get so ashamed of ourselves. We're not without hope, you know. You think of it, you had no hope at all in Christ. If the Lord's visited you, you know he has. That will always be in your heart. You know the Lord has blessed you. You cannot lose it. But if he hides his face, it's a terrible experience. And he does hide his face from his people. And that makes it more poignant, because why has he left you? Is there not a cause? Will he leave you forever? And so forth. Well, see how the Lord takes this up with his dear people. There's a time of sorrow, but there's a time of rejoicing that this woman in labour will have. For joy that a man is born to the world. He turns to his disciples and says, yea, look, see what I've said? Ye now there have sorrow. It's a labour. Well, have you, dear friends? If you haven't this afternoon, maybe the text doesn't mean anything to you. And how true that is. Does the gospel come down where I am? Does the gospel ever reach my heart? What is your sorrow? Well, I can tell you now, I wasn't going to come and preach this word at all. It came to me at lunchtime with some authority as I was washing up in the kitchen. It just kept coming. I had to change my text. Hope there's a reason for it. And I know I've preached from this here before. In fact, it was the first time I ever visited you. Tremblingly at that time, I preached from this word. And I have done since, I think. Now, the Lord knows your sorrow. You're not alone. Friends, you're not alone in the sorrow. If you're following the Lord Jesus Christ, you are not alone in your sorrow. And we think of Zion, and we think of Jeremiah. You know how he cried out, did he not? Is it nothing to you, or ye that pass by, and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow? Now I know it is Jeremiah here concerning the destruction of Jerusalem, which was a terrible thing he experienced and watched. Poor man, no wonder he was a weeping prophet. Why? Because the glory of God had gone for sin. Beloved friends, these are God's people. The Jews were God's people, yet they've been punished for sin. Couldn't be so. Surely believers are not punished for their sin, are they? Friend, they're corrected. They're corrected. The terrible sin they entered into. Friend, and don't make light of your heart sins either. Mercy to be preserved outwardly. But, you know, God looks on the heart. It is the soul that is redeemed. The body, yes, will be raised up. But it is the spirit of the man. It is the soul that worships God in spirit and truth. And what a grief it was to him. It's no sorrow. Previous prophets had their trials, were stoned to death, sawn asunder, as Paul writes in Hebrews. Isaiah is believed to be one of those that we have to leave. But was there any sorrow that Jeremiah could behold than the Lord deserting his people with fire and judgment and wrath and destruction? They were carried captive. Jerusalem was destroyed. You know, all the glory of the temple was ruined and destroyed, and all the precious vessels were taken away. The sign of sorrow. Now, dear friend, what is your sorrow? Is it correction? Is it judgment? Is it worry? Is it anxiety? Is it reproach? Are you bearing a reproach? The Lord knows your sorrow. Is it personal? Personal sorrow. Personal pathway sorrow that no one else can enter into. It affects you. It's a mark against you. Why does the Lord not answer my prayers? Why does the Lord not open that door? Why doesn't the Lord bless me? All I can say to you, dear friends, and I don't know why, but I know my own pathway, is there not a cause, Lord? Is there not a cause? Is it not divine teaching? But one thing is sure. You have sorrow, but he will see you again. Why? Because he's called you by his grace. He's a God of love, can never forsake his people. That is one thing that is certain in our text. So we have these certainties, don't we? The Lord knows your sorrow. He's telling them. He's telling them they have sorrow. He's given the reason. He's showing them that he knows your thoughts are far off. And he knows your need. He knows your cries. He hears your prayers. That is sure, dear friends. He's speaking to them. Does the Lord speak to you in your pathway, in your need, in your care? Does he? Great mercy when he does. He's telling us here in the gospel, as he's telling these disciples, he knows all about them, but he is going to see them again. It's a tremendous comfort to God's people in deep, fiery trials that they have known the Lord. But what a comfort can it be to them if they are under that awful fear and temptation that he's left them and will leave them forever because of their sin? And conscience knows that is true. That is why it's a sorrow. Because you know you deserve to be deserted of God, because you have forgotten him times without number. That is our nature. But the Lord knows it. He knows it. And he visits your soul with a purpose. Not to forsake you or deceive you, but to bless you. As he blessed you, look back. Look back. It was a reality. Are you tempted now? It's not a reality. Was I deceived? All those terrible fears. But you weren't deceived. Led to Christ. Self was being crucified. You loved him more than your own life. You loved him more than yourself. You longed for him above all others. This is the blessing of God that maketh rich. And he does make rich. Well, the Lord says to his disciples, you know that I have sorrow. Now, I don't know what your sorrows are, but it can be a number of things, personal things, desertion, the Lord's silence, his promise not fulfilled. Friends, delays are not denials is an old saying, and that's true, but when will he come? I think of those who come to the end of the journey and their heart is upward. You know, why is his chariot so long in coming? I know that was said the man in the book of Judges, I can't think of his name for a minute, but leaving that aside, you know, you long for the Lord to come. When will he come? When will he come and take you to himself? Or, before then, will he come again? Will he come and visit me again? It's a sorrow to your heart, dear friends. We brought our own sorrows on ourselves, but the Lord knows your sorrow. He knows your fears, what you're feeling. He knows them, friend. He's speaking to his disciples now and opening their understanding that he does understand them. He knows what's in their heart. He knows the inner fears. I'm sure you've got fears as you come to God's house in life's journey and personal that you wouldn't speak perhaps to others. It wouldn't be wise, would it? They don't want to know about your troubles. They've got their own, haven't they? But the Lord knows. Go to the Lord. Friend, he is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The Lord Jesus Christ is a living God and he is also a living man. And as Joseph Hart says in 23, that human heart he still retains, though thrown in glory above. And he does. He does. You now that have sorrow, the Lord knows you have sorrow. And only you know your sorrow and your fear. It's so personal. But are you united to Christ? Friend, there's wonderful things in union of marriage, but united to Christ, joined to Christ. What a union. There's no union like that. No union like that. I'm not making light of the wonders of being joined to another person. It's a wonderful thing, but united to him, one with Jesus, a mighty deliverer, a mighty saviour. And he knows all about you. And he knows in love. He's not just speaking like a boss who knows, oh, I know your situation. I know I can understand all that. No, he loves you as one whom Christ died for. That is the union. It's sealed at Calvary. Dear friend, he bowed his head and died for his people. Don't get used to it. Ask it to open up in a greater blessing. A greater blessing. To open up his love to you. His dying for you. For you. For me. We long for it more. To know it more. That will kindle love to you. In your soul to him. Well, the Lord knows your care and your sorrow this afternoon. What a good Saviour he is. He knows your need. He knows your disappointments. He knows that your cries, will he ever appear? What is his will? Someone here says, can I bear his will if it goes against what I'd like? Can I bear that will? Beloved friends, the Lord knows your fear. He knows your fear. I can only speak by past experience, looking back over the years, how good the Lord has been to me. I've come to those places where I cannot bear the thought of the Lord's will for me sometimes. But then he's come and shown me his good will of mercy, love, grace, and promise to me. All that we might hold fast. He's a God of mercy and a God of love, friends. Let not the devil get at you on that point. The only sorrow we have, a child of God with us, our will, naturally, is often opposed to the Lord's will. But the Lord's will is good. Come, follow me. Come, follow me. He knows your sorrow, your fear. In all that, will I make shipwreck? Am I deceived? Was I really blessed? All these fears arise. And the Lord knows them. And you feel ashamed of them when he comes and returns. Friend, we don't promote unbelief, do we? God forbid, we should not be doing that in the ministry. But there's realities, isn't there? We have our sorrows and our cares and our unbelief in us, all of us. Because we're sinners in God's sight. Well, what is your sorrow? I don't know. The Lord knows. Jesus knows your care. Your concern, your exercise. Your prayers aren't wasted, you know. You might think, I've been praying over this for so long. Was it good John Adams, William Huntington, prayed over a certain matter to John Adams and his wife? I think it's John Adams, I may have got that wrong, but it's one of the hymn writers, I'm sure it's John Adams, that It's no good praying, says John Adams. We keep asking the Lord. And he said, we'll ask again. It's not wrong to ask. And he prayed, and they had an answer to prayer in that particular matter. Oh, the Lord is good, dear friends. May we believe it in heart, even in a time of sorrow. And he's showing, therefore, his goodness to them. Ye now, therefore, have sorrow. The Lord is showing you his love to you by showing you he knows your sorrow. He knows your need. But, he says, you shan't stay there. You shan't stay there. And how true it is for all his dear people, they won't ever be living on this earth of sorrow and death. As we're spared in our years, we've still got that long shadow to come. Death. It's like a shadow, isn't it? It's a sobering, sobering thought. Dying is a sobering thought. We long for it to be the most glorious time of our life, to see the beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ, who you love forever and ever. It's a thing you long for, to be with him. But the way is through the coming down of the body. And that must be a painful thing. Must be a terrible thing. It's a solemn thing to die. And we die because we are sinners. That is God's last answer to us as sinners. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. He said it. And we're all going to die because we have sinned against the Lord. The Lord knows this. But you won't stay in this state. There is a promise of eternal life. And the text before us, although it is particularly relating to the disciples, as we've said at this time, yet it is a gospel text as well. And I will see you again. Did Jesus once upon me shine? Has he? Has he given you hope? And now he seems gone? We're talking about special blessings. We walk by faith. We live by faith. We don't live in the blessings. Yet they have been a reality. They are a reality. The covering is over us still. We cannot forget the blessings. The blessing is still upon us. But it's not so near, is it, as it was? Do you look back? Probably we want a religion that remembers the past, but is looking on to what is before us. And that is only by grace we can do it. We can't see ahead in the pathway, but all for that grace to know him. I will see you again. This is a covenant promise. This is a covenant promise. You know how good the Lord Jesus is to those disciples. You know, he's going to suffer, bleed and die. He says, I'm going to see you again. Now, when they were under that, I know Peter lingered around the fire and so forth, and then denied him. And John was at the cross, but they all forsook him. Friend, he went, he'd gone. They got no leader. Where was he? They've been following him for 3 years. Where do they go now? We know not, but they kept together, and God kept them together. God keeps his people together. It's a solemn thing when there are divisions, but we're not going down that avenue. You know, he keeps his people together in his fear and his love and in their common need of him. That unites the saints. They have a common need of Christ. It's deep answer to deep, doesn't it? A common need of the Lord. I need him, you need him. It binds us together in him. And we need him because we love him. And we hope, we believe, because he loves us. And we have those evidences that he has loved us with an everlasting love, without being presumption. Oh, there's nothing like presumption, is there? We fear it. But he'd gone from them. But there was this promise. Your heart shall rejoice. Your joy no man taketh from you. Well, there's no sorrow like unto your sorrow, is there? I know Jerusalem had that great sorrow, and it was a tremendous sorrow. But, you know, the dear disciples were going to go through the similar sorrow. Gone, gone, gone. And they were slow in heart to believe, as Jesus told them. O fools, it's their heart to believe. Will not Christ have suffered? Shouldn't this have happened? What do the prophets say? What does the word say? But you know, he might speak to them in that language and open to their understanding, but he went to them in love to draw near. He went, drew near. It's a wonderful word. He drew near and went with them. Even though they were talking in sorrow, he drew near and went with them. I will see you again. And he did see them again. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And they were. And so will you be. This is a covenant promise, dear friends. In your sorrow of this present time of your life, in the cares and afflictions and trials of the pathway. And they are trials. They really are. Friends, trials aren't imaginary. We can all speak about being tried. We say it so glibly. But trials cut us to pieces. Real trials cut us to pieces. We walk through things we never thought we'd ever walk through. Sorrows and cares we never anticipated. Yet we knew, and we all know, that we're born onto trouble, don't we? But God leads us in them, and he'll lead you through them unto glory. If it wasn't a pathway of sorrow, we wouldn't want to go to Christ, would we? If it was all sunshine here, would we need a sunshine in heaven? These are just passing points I make. But you know, I will see you again. I will see you again. You know, your heart shall rejoice. A word dropped in at lunchtime also. It's a wonderful word. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. This is to Zion, to Jerusalem, and to his church, really. Then shall ye suck. Ye shall be borne upon her sides, be dandled upon her knees. And this is the word that came. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. You know, for a child, there's no comfort like mum. I know dads can be a comfort, and probably dads much more useful when you begin to grow up. But as little children, you know, mum is a dear comfort. She has born them, and there is especially upon children, there's a mother's tenderness toward a little one. And you shall be comforted in Jerusalem, you know, as one whom his mother comforteth. What tenderness. I'm not being soft and silly, friends. What tenderness. What mercy of the Lord. This is the God of heaven. This is the God of heaven. This is the God of love. As one whom his mother comforteth. He says to his church, his people, so will I comfort you. So will I comfort you. And ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. In Zion. Out of Zion. Well, your heart shall rejoice, and it will rejoice. Friend, in the visits of eternal life, a promise of victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there is a glory here, isn't there? One whom his mother comforteth. What tender bowels of compassion has God got to his dear people? Friend, and texts like that reach those in deep waters. Those in deep sorrow of heart. I will see you again. Dear friends, has your heart rejoiced in Christ? And Does it seem a while ago now? Oh, the memory's blessed. You'd soon begin to talk about it if someone opened up, two spiritual people meet and open up and begin to talk. But so often it's quietness. Where is it? You get like that sometimes, God's people. Dare I speak anymore? Where's my heart now? Where's it got to? The Lord knows. He says, I'll revive you. I'll see you again. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Despite all your heart wandering, despite your... No excuses here. None at all. But let's be clear. Where were you last week? 2 weeks ago? Where was your heart this last week? All over the place. Because we're living on the earth. And the Lord knows it. The Lord knows it. And he's leading you through the fires, the briars, the difficulties, the quagmires, the narrow way. Well, I will see you again. Beloved friends, so fair a face bedewed with tears, what beauty and in grief appears. He groaned, he bled, he died for you. What more, my friends, could Jesus do? I will see you again. You know, with that same love, that glowing love, that blessed hope, that reality that you once had. Fred, again, risen, now exalted, now with the fullness. When Christ saw them again, he didn't have that travel of soul before. It was over him. He rose victorious. He rose as one prepared to go to glory and to bring them there. His work was done. His work was sealed. You know, salvation was sealed on for them. But they didn't all realize it, did they? But when the day of Pentecost came, how they saw that truth then. They could go and preach him as risen, exalted, now in glory. What a mercy, dear friends. Have you had that hope in him? You're going to see him one day, face to face, in heaven above. You will. It's not just because I'm not just saying this. It's a reality. It's Christ made precious to your soul. You will see him one day. Have you heard his voice? You behold him without a cloud between one day. But he's going to bring you through. And he knows your sorrow now. He knows your need. He knows all you're walking through. But he leads us safely on. For the secret, often say it, really, friend, is to... It is simple, isn't it? Jesus just kept saying, follow me. Take up thy cross. Follow me. Friend, and we are following him. In the word of God, we're following him spiritually, an exercise of soul, the throne of grace, being led of him, desiring to be led of him. At times you cry, Lord, show me what I have to do. Every hour, my strength renew. Is that your cry? Lead me on in that narrow way unto glory. But, you know, that promise, a hope, it's a foundation hope to see him whom you're so loveth. The spouse found him, didn't she? And she would embrace him and she would not let him go. You know, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Love is stronger than death, isn't it? Love is stronger than death. And it is. Friend, it's stronger. It endures death. It goes through death. Love lives in death. God's love does. An earthly love is lost, isn't it? An earthly love, as precious as it might be, is lost in death, isn't it? A union with a person is lost in dying, isn't it? It's a severance. But God's love endures forever and forever through the river unto glory. I will see you again. And he will. He will. Friend, ought to have that good hope. Friend, do you love him? Friend, if you do, you long to see him face to face. Oh, to be, it was no understatement, friend. You know, to be with Christ. Don't just say it glibly. It's true, though. Or can you say it? It's much better, far better, to be with Christ. I believe as people carry that secret in their heart, it will be better, it is better, to be with Christ. As much as you want to be with your family and your loved ones, don't you? Of course you do. But to be with Christ, a heavenly home. When preaching, you know, you long to get home when you've end of the day. On a Sunday, I used to drive home regularly and itinerating, but you know, even on business, looking forward being away for several nights, whether it was in Newcastle, Liverpool, whatever it might be, several places I used to go to, driving home, glad to get home, pleased to get home. Beloved friend, I've often pondered it, a heavenly home. Not just driving down a motorway to get home. No, it's a labour to enter into that rest, to be with Christ. Is it not far better? I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. This is a heavenly rejoicing. Friend, the rejoicing of heaven, the rejoicing of the redeemed, the song of the glorified ones in heaven above. Your heart shall rejoice. Shall my heart rejoice among them, friend? What a question. This poor thing like me, this heart wanderer, shall I among them stand? Shall I rejoice in heaven? Shall I praise him? Are you praising him alone on earth now? You are to praise him among the saints one day. You feel so to be alone on earth, yet you've worshipped him. Jesus has drawn near, but above, all the song of the glorified ones above. And no man, no one can take that sorrow from you. Your heart shall rejoice. Your joy, no man taketh from you. They can't, can they? Friend, and they haven't so far, have they? Speaking of those perhaps more long in the journey in older years, friend, you still haven't lost that good hope because of grace, and you won't. You never will. Or to see his face, your heart shall rejoice. When he comes again, when Christ comes skipping over the hills, when he speaks as the voice of your beloved, and it is a rise up, it's coming to him, and come away from this care, this sorrow. I will see you again. Your heart shall rejoice. I believe it will above. But I believe, according to this word, he will see his people again. I believe those, as they come to the end of the river, I believe his people, I know some die without being able to express that hope. But you don't know what's in the soul. The Lord has promised to see. I'm not being dogmatic here, and I would never be like that. Yet we leave the word open. But I will see you again. Your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Timothy Barker will preach on Wednesday evening, and there'll be a prayer meeting on Friday evening for our dear afflicted friends at 7 o'clock. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Jonathan Buss will preach at 10:30 and 6:30, and there will be Sunday school in the afternoon, if the Lord will. Our closing hymn is 976. Jesus is a wise physician, skillful and exceeding kind. Through him sinners find remission and enjoy sweet peace of mind. 976.
And now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God Father, the sweet communion, unction, comfort of the Holy Ghost, ever abide with us now. Amen.